talk a little bit, I guess, Randy, about the Garden of Eden and how that play, because every time I look at evil in the world, I go back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, that this is where it started. Like it, you know, God, when he set up the world, everything was perfect. It wasn't like he set it up to be this way, right? So
right.
Talk to us a little bit about that and that the origins of evil. And maybe, I mean, you might want to go all the way back to the fall of Satan and the angels, but talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to set up the question, because Eden is the picture of what God intends for the human experience on planet Earth to be. Mm-hmm. Perfect. No sin, no death, no suffering, beauty, perfection, all is well. And then one day, there will be the new earth, which will be like Eden times 10,000. It will be a redeemed earth that has fallen, and through redemption will be a far greater earth than Eden ever was. And you actually see that in Revelation 21 where you see this great river coming down from the new Jerusalem, and on both sides of it grew the tree of life. Well, both sides of a great river, this is now a forest of life. I mean, yeah. It's not, I mean, maybe those trees are all connected and you could call them one tree, but there was one tree, the tree of life in Eden, but this is a forest of life. And the redemptive work of Christ will make this new creation so much greater and so much deeper. But going back then to that original creation, you know, how and why? How did evil come into the world? And honestly, I don't know that any of us can fully answer the question other than to say, which is usually said, and I think it's correct, is that God decided to not make us robots, to give us genuine free choice. Mm. Now, he's a God of providence. He's a God of sovereignty. And so he doesn't force us to make certain choices, but he sovereignly guides in such a way that results in our choosing as we do, given our inclination to do what we want to do. Now, he could have kept the serpent out of the garden. He could have made it so that Adam and Eve were wired to never be tempted. And a lot of people would say, that's what he should have done. That's what an all-good God, who is all-knowing and he's in control, he's all-powerful, that's what he should have done, and that would have eliminated all the suffering and evil in the world. Well, he could have done that. He chose not to do that. But I would just challenge anyone, if you were writing the story, the great story of the human race and human history and all of that, if you were writing the story, what would you have done? Well, just don't give them choice at all. Or make sure that they never exercise the wrong choice, which is to give them no choice. If you're making sure they don't exercise the wrong choice, then they don't have a freedom to choose. And is that really what you want? I mean, do you want to live in a world of robotics and Stepford Wives and, you know, where it's just, this is just, you're programmed mm-hmm. to never do bad and only to do good. Mm-hmm. And would that have been the life we love? I mean, don't most of us value freedom of choice? Mm-hmm. Well, we value it, it seems like, and we talk about it all the time and how important it is, until it comes to the question of evil and suffering, where we then say, God shouldn't have allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have it both ways.
That's right.
It is part of the human nature. We're created in the image of God. God is one who makes choices. Our choices are not fully free. We're limited to a certain degree. Like I can say, well, yeah, I got freedom to choose, so I'm going to fly off the rooftops. And you go, well, only if you can fly, you don't have that capacity, so you're going to drop to the ground. And so, but yes, we can choose to jump off the roof. We can choose to make all kinds of decisions. God gave that choice. He respected that choice in the sense that he let it take its consequences. So, somehow he gives us freedom of choice. Somehow Adam and Eve, through the influence of Satan, through deception, they end up making the wrong choice. And he had said, in the day you sin, you shall surely die. And death began. Death began. Now you say, well, they didn't drop dead immediately. No, they didn't. But the process of death and destruction began. Mm-hmm. The world fell under a curse. They were evicted from Eden. They go out into a cold, hard, harsh world. Pretty soon you've got Cain killing Abel. You've got rampant evil. You've got God sending the flood. And it's like, what happened to Eden? And it's such a dramatic part of the storyline. And, you know, even though a lot of us would say we don't want the story because we don't want the evil and suffering, how would our story have turned out? Would this be a story that people forever celebrate? Would we have ever even seen the grace of God? Would Jesus have ever become a man? Well, I mean, why would he? Mm-hmm. You know, he... Mm-hmm. So the beautiful aspect of the incarnation itself, the priceless redemptive work of the Son of God on our behalf to make us new creations in Christ. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. We are in the already and not yet. He's already done this, but we have not yet seen the ultimate outbreaking of total and final worldwide goodness. We have not seen what we're promised in 2 Peter 3:13. Therefore, we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Yeah.
Righteousness and new heavens, new earth. And just like we're going to have new bodies in the resurrection, what will our new bodies be? They'll be our old bodies that died, made new. Well, what will the new earth be? The new earth will be the old earth that died, destruction, made new, and we'll live on it forever and enjoy life as God intended. Now, which is the more compelling story? The one that didn't have any evil and suffering in it, or the one that did, but that evil and suffering was overcome by the blood of the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, and we will celebrate forever and worship him? And we will have great feasts and all will be well. And he says, I will wipe away the tears from every eye. No more death, no more suffering, no more pain, no more curse.
Yeah.
Which is the better story? I think the one God chose is better than the one we would have chosen.